You are listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast, a show for women who are chasing their everyday and epic adventures. This podcast is hosted by Christy Moan and me, Katherine Taylor, and powered by Feisty Media.
All right, we did it.
This is a first.
We have never spent this much time together.
Oh my God. Do you hate me?
No, I love it. I love it.
We were together all last week.
We went on our first ride together.
We went on our first ride together. We've been sharing a hotel room together, sharing lots of meals together, sharing lots of laughs together. This has been incredible.
Now we're sharing an airport drink.
Airport drink.
A successful sea otter.
Yeah, we did it. We crushed that thing.
And we still have another week together.
I know. That exasperation is more like, I really want to see my husband and my dog.
Well, I want to see my dog too.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. But that was, we you know what, how cool is it that we get to help level up the women's pro field this year for the Lifetime Grand Prix?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And I really just enjoyed how excited all the women are about what role they're getting to play in the bigger women's sports conversation. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just how excited they are to race this series because they want to race the best.
Yeah.
And that was very clear from all of our conversations.
It was very clear. And it's also very clear that they appreciate the fans. They appreciate all of you that listen and follow them. Like, that's a big deal for them. And they really, that is making an impact. So keep listening, keep following, keep paying attention to that women's field because it's going to be fire this year.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, so you'll see a lot of content coming out from this stuff we just did at Sea Otter. We were on the ground for 3 days, 2 days with the women. One day was all day race day, but got lots of interviews, some really fun content. We made people play games.
Yeah, it's good.
We played a little game.
Yeah.
You won.
I did. I won.
We're not done yet, though.
We're not done, but you all know how that's going to end, so...
Whatever. You're going to be unbound. You're going to be busy.
You're counting on that.
Anyway, but this episode, well, what if you hear background noises? Because we're sitting in the airport and the microphone is already under the plane. But this episode is just live from the Sea Otter Classic. So you got some interviews before. We caught up with Janelle Spilker again, talked about how the race unfolded. And then we had some finish line interviews from some of the women that finished in that top 10. So I think you're going to enjoy this episode, and we really want to give a big shout out to our podcast producer, Lindsay, who not only raced both the Fuego and the Gravel event, but is driving back to Canada and taking time to edit and produce this podcast. And it's not an easy one with all these different clips. So thank you, Lindsay. And we will head on out to Gravel Camp.
There we go.
Hey all, it's your editor, Lindsay here. I want you to get ready to ante up for the Ultimate Gravel Challenge this summer. Join us at the 2024 Trans Rockies Gravel Royale, where adventure awaits in the breathtaking Canadian Rockies. Experience the thrill of a unique 3-day stage race surrounded by stunning scenery on secluded gravel roads in the British Columbia backcountry. With two distance options, the full pint or half pint distances, there's a challenge for every level of rider. And forget about logistics, Trans Rockies has you covered. Fully supported with tents, meals, aid stations, technical support, and even massage services, so all you have to do is focus on the ride. You'll stay at the picturesque Nipica Mountain Resort, nestled in the heart of the Rockies, and celebrate your achievements with daily podium awards, group dinner, and custom design memorabilia. After the ride, you can unwind at Chillville with cold refreshments, music, games, and camaraderie with your fellow riders. Don't miss out on this epic adventure. Register now at transrockiesgravelroyale.com and use the code GGG24GR100 to save $100 off your entry. The link and discount codes will be in the show notes of this episode. Embrace the challenge, conquer the gravel, and create memories that will last a lifetime. So go all in with us for Trans Rockies Gravel Royale this August.
I'm here with Anna Hicks now, all up in her personal space. So, Anna, looks like you're overcoming some things. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. Last week at Redlands, I crashed in the first day.
Have a broken scapula, clavicle, and first rib. So we're down for a little bit.
But not out for long.
Nope. The plan's to be back as soon as possible. So we'll see.
How's it feeling?
It's getting better every day. I would say the first couple days were pretty painful. I wasn't able to do pretty much anything, but now I can almost fully function on my own. So we're getting better each day.
That's awesome. Well, this is your first Grand Prix. You had a really, well, for me, a super impressive and great showing at Big Sugar. Talk about that race for a little bit.
Yeah, Big Sugar was a really exciting day. I think it was one of those races where I showed up with no expectations at all. I really was just there to like be in the community and have a fun last race of the season. I found myself in like that top group out in the beginning, and I was like, this is awesome. Let's see how long I can last here. And then as we got towards the end of the race, I knew I had good legs, and I knew and within that group I had a good shot. I think the cool thing about that was getting like, you know, seventh or ninth or whatever that last spot would have been in our group still would have been a great result for me, as just as exciting as third place was. So I just was able to race with no expectation because I was just excited to be there and excited to be in that group no matter what place I finished. And I think that freedom really allowed me to like reach a flow state where I was able to just really have like a good performance.
Well, you are coming into this obviously not as you were hoping to, but with that, like, what are some of the things that are the most exciting to you about coming into this season and being one of the Lifetime Grand Prix athletes?
Yeah, I really have enjoyed the Lifetime races that I've done. I did Sea Otter last year, and it was one of my favorite events, as well as, like, the Rad and Big Sugar were awesome. I'm just excited to get to be here and be more of a part of it and get to actually be part of the story and see what I can do. The events in the past week have definitely changed kind of my focus of the season, so I'm excited to have just the freedom and ability to prioritize these events and to go to, hopefully, 6 of 7 now.
Well, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited.
There's no chance in the world I'm going to be able to say Danny's last name.
It's okay.
Strawberry. Danny Strawberry. Actually, what's your last name?
Shrewsbury. No one gets it. We're close, kind of.
Danny, you are coming back for year two of the Lifetime Grand Prix. How are you feeling coming into this year?
I'm actually super excited. I'm still nervous. Like, mountain biking isn't my background, so this event is always quite daunting, but I'm more excited because I know what I'm getting into. There's a lot more familiar faces, and yeah, I'm just gonna have some fun.
Yeah. And you were a British national champion, is that correct?
Yes, I was indeed.
On the road.
People think this. No, it was on the gravel.
On the gravel.
I got 7th on the road.
Okay.
Which is still pretty all right.
It's okay. She's okay. What do you feel like you learned last year that you'll bring into this year?
That I need to sort my travel situation out because I was back and forth and altitude and me don't get on, like not at all. So I need to climatize a lot more for the events. But yeah, just embrace like all these opportunities that I'm getting because, you know, Lifetime is amazing. All the people here are just great. And you meet, I've met some solid friends from it. So yeah. It's cool.
You seem to have really formed some good friendships. I noticed you and Paige Onwiller seem to be good friends. Like, tell me a little bit about that and having a community of women as you went through last year and now coming into that this year.
Oh, sure. I mean, Paige has saved my butt so much. Like, I'll be a week out from one of the Lifetime events because I was working full time, road race calendar last year. I'd be like, Paige, I've got no accommodation. Any advice? And she's like, Danny, everything's booked. And then she'd be like, I've got a spare bed. But yeah, she's just great. And she's obviously done a lot of the races before, so she was able to like give me some advice. And then there's people like Sarah. I bonded with Sarah during Unbound, which was so funny. And now, yeah, I get on pretty well with her and Maud. I just like to get on with everyone.
I can see that. I can see that. My other question for you is, coming from Europe, where women's cycling has been so on the rise and so visible, what is it like to be a part of this series, which is really the premier series in the US, and that rising tide of women's cycling?
Yeah, it's amazing. And do you know what I respect Lifetime so much is that they listen to us women. And like, there are a couple of events where, you know, we were set off with the men last year, and it does disrupt our race quite a lot. Like, there's some pros to it, obviously. If you stick with the fast guys, you're away. But there's also like some cons that it can be quite dangerous. But, you know, they've taken that all on board and putting it into this year. So I really respect that. And, you know, they're really pushing like the equal prize money and everything like that. They're just going about it the right way.
Awesome. Well, we are looking forward to seeing you race this year and getting you on the podcast for a longer interview soon.
Yeah, can't wait.
Thanks, guys. Awesome. Okay, I am here at the Seattle Classic with Haley Preen, who is a new athlete to the Lifetime Grand Prix Series this year. And tell us a little bit about you and where you are from.
I am from South Africa. It's my first time racing in America, so I am very excited. Also, my first time racing my mountain bike internationally. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the whole Lifetime Grand Prix series.
Yeah. What made you apply for the Lifetime Grand Prix? Because the travel is kind of a beast coming to the US almost every month.
It's a very long travel, and it's very expensive for us coming from South Africa. But last year, literally last minute before the deadline for application, I didn't know what I was going to be doing this year. I raced internationally last year on the road, and I didn't have a team for this year, so I wasn't sure. So I was like, I might as well apply. And see what happens, and then I got selected. So then I just had to plan for this year. Yeah.
Coming in internationally and this building a reputation for being the off-road series with some of the best women in the world, what's that like to come in and race those women?
It's incredible to race them. I've raced some of them in the Cape Epic in the mountain bike race back in South Africa recently, actually. But yeah, to be here racing against them, I don't know what to expect. I just need to race my heart out, give it my all, and see what happens.
What do you hope to gain as an athlete over the course of this season?
I think just experience would be amazing against all of them. And then obviously some good results. I think I can do it. I believe I can do it. Yeah, so just to see where I can place myself amongst them.
Yeah, that's great. And then which race are you most excited about for the season?
I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah.
I think because it's the first one and it's a massive festival, so much happening. It's really cool to be here. Yeah.
Well, we will look forward to getting to know you more over the season, and welcome to the Lifetime Grand Prix.
Thank you very much.
I am standing here with Hannah Otto right before the Seattle Classic. Hannah, how are you feeling coming into the season?
I am so excited. I love starting the year at Seattle. I think this course is super fun. And it's just always an exciting chance to kind of see where everyone's at, you know? We all kind of have to see where we stack up, and then we just go from there.
Yeah. You're such a strategic athlete, so I want to know, you've raced this series a couple of times. You know what it takes to be at the top. What is it going to take now that the field just increasingly is getting better? What's it going to take to be on the top of a podium this year?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I've totally shifted my focus as the series has gotten more competitive. I've definitely bought into it, which is super fun. So I'm all in this year. The last 2 years, I've only done 5 of the 7. I haven't allowed myself a drop. And this year, I'm allowing myself that drop because I think we need that. So you'll see me at all the races this year.
I like that. Have you changed your training knowing any of the top players as well?
I haven't changed it specifically for the competition, but just for the rising tide in general. I think that as things get faster, it demands more, and I've definitely put in more hours than ever before this year.
I love that. And you've been in sport for so long. I also wanted to ask you, we are definitely at just such a place in women's sport. Like everything we've seen in the last few weeks with the Women's Final Four, with the Tour with Paris-Roubaix, like everything that's going on. What does it feel like to be a part of this movement in women's sport and really be on the front line in U.S. cycling?
It's really special. I think that this is an opportunity, you know, women's sport is elevating. And so it's also an important time that we make sure that we elevate each other. And I hope that's something that you see in the Grand Prix this year, is while we are fierce, fierce competitors, and we're going to offer up, in my opinion, the most exciting racing, we're also going to be the best of friends at the finish line.
I love that. Well, we can't wait to watch you race this season, and thanks for chatting with us.
Thank you so much.
We are so excited. Seattle Classic, we are coming to you from the little photo shoot here for athletes, and I am with the one and only Michelle Duffy-Smith. Welcome, Michelle.
Happy to be here.
Are you so excited to be ready to kick off the 2024 Lifetime Grand Prix Series?
Heck yeah. We've been working towards this for the last few months, and we're excited to be here.
This year, we're seeing such a huge rise in women's sports. We're seeing the attention being paid like across the board. Talk about what the Lifetime Grand Prix has done for women's off-road cycling.
For sure. Yeah, I think we've seen huge elevation in media coverage, in participation, in fans. One of the things that made me feel the most inspired last year was walking up and seeing one of the autograph signings and just the line of both adults and kids lining up to talk to these women who they are aspiring to be like, no matter their age.
I know you've really led the charge in the space around the equity piece. And we see that from just the field sizes and the purse prizes. How important is it what you're doing with media coverage as well?
We have to be providing equal or more opportunities for the women's field. And I say or more because there's a lot of catching up to be done. And it's so important to be able to provide a platform for these women cyclists to be able to not just show what they who they are on the bike, but who they are off the bike as well. We need to give the space to these women, tell their stories, and then also focus on the competition side, because there's an amazing competitive field on the women's front right now. In the last 5-7 years, we've just seen a huge surge in the competitive field for the women, and it's been a really exciting journey to follow. And we are looking to our partners like you all as an amazing example, but the broad market as well, to really give these women the same platform that they deserve. And so for that reason, we've made strategic decisions with our events to ensure that we have 50-50 coverage, whether that's our own content like video content or separate starts, so that the women's race is better on display.
I know this has been, you know, a lead project for a lifetime for sure, but I think it's safe to say it's also been a passion project for you. You've become friends with a lot of these athletes and have been able to advocate for them. How does it make you feel to see this rise and to see the coverage stepping up?
It's pretty special. I didn't originally come from the cycling industry, but got the fortunate opportunity 7 years ago to step into this space and gotten to ride the wave alongside a lot of the women and women like yourself, Christy, who has been such a great mentor, and Catherine, and then the riders too, getting to know them and then see the growth and the focus that's really been on the women's field has been super special. It makes the work feel worth it.
Awesome. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
All right. I am here at the Seattle Classic with a new athlete to the Lifetime Grand Prix. I have Pita Mullins with me. How are you feeling about being here, Pita?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm a super fan of cycling and of the Seattle Classic and of the Lifetime Grand Prix. And yeah, it's a little bit overwhelming that this is the first one, being such a big venue. And yeah, I saw the course yesterday and just excited.
You are a 12-time Aussie national champion. What made you decide to do this event series?
I think I'm looking for a challenge, something that I haven't done before. These will be my longest rides, my hardest rides, my hilliest rides, all in the same year. I think I'm getting a bit older now, and I've achieved a lot of things I wanted to achieve in my life, and just want to challenge myself with something as difficult as Lifetime Grand Prix, so it's straight in the deep end.
And what's your background? Is it more off-road or road, or where do you come? What are your national titles in?
Yeah, so everything from track, road, cyclocross, XCO, XCM. Yeah, I've kind of dabbled throughout the years. I think my passion is mountain biking, but perhaps my strength is road, criterium racing specifically in America. Yeah.
How do you think that will benefit you for this series?
I don't think it's going to help me much at all. I think I'm going to have to tap into some real mental fortitude just from 20 years of racing bikes. And yeah, I think I'm so excited about the prospect of it that maybe the challenge physically won't outweigh that, hopefully.
Yeah. And you come from, like I said, a depth of experience, 20 years. What do you think it takes to do well in a series like this?
Like a high threshold power would probably really help. I think preparation, experience, all those sorts of things. Obviously a great training base would really help as well, but I think just going in with the right mindset hopefully is going to put me a little bit ahead in leaps and bounds. But like I said, I'm a super fan of the series. I do a lot of spreadsheets. I've done a lot of study. Hopefully that helps. But yeah, I think it's going to be great having women's only starts this year. That was kind of a bit of impetus for me to come over and race and just be a part of the growing sport of gravel and mountain bike.
That's amazing. So my last question for you is more related to women's sport in general, but we are obviously, if you've been racing for 20 years, you have seen the rise of women's cycling. And at the same time right now, we're seeing the rise of women's sport. What's just happening with the, you know, NCAA and the women's basketball and the WNBA, all those pieces. So what do you think about being a part of this movement in women's sport? Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think a series like the Lifetime Grand Prix, it professionalizes the sport. obviously we're all about equality. I've been racing for 20 years, so I've seen the rise of women's cycling on the road specifically. We see that if you show it to the people, they will watch it. And I think the fact that they're sort of producing a lot of media and kind of making us into personalities and personas are really important for the sport. People can fall in love with us as human beings and as athletes.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we are looking forward to watching you race this season.
Thank you. Excited.
We are here at Laguna Seca at the photo shoot, which has actually been really cool. And we're here with Sam. Can you do your last name for me?
Shepherd.
Shepherd. Just that. It's just that simple. Sam,
yep.
Shepherd.
Sam,
okay.
Shepherd.
Great.
Yep.
Sam is all the way here from lives in Australia, is from New Zealand. Tell us so far about your trip here.
Yeah, it's been amazing. We had so much fun already in America. I'm so excited to be part of the Lifetime series. Had a few days in LA and loved the riding there, and then obviously come here to Monterey and it's just incredible. The setup here for Seattle has been incredible. The Lifetime has been already so much fun to be part of and meet all these new people and a lot of industry brands here as well. It's a really exciting time.
And this is your first time doing the Lifetime Grand Prix, so what are you most excited about?
It's an incredible opportunity to race a series that's so diverse with the gravel racing and the mountain bike racing. I come from a background where I've done a lot of cross-country racing, a lot of marathon racing. I've done a little bit on the road as well. So, to kind of put it all together in the gravel as well is a really exciting. And obviously, this has got so much traction all around the world. Everyone is talking about the Lifetime series. And, I've done a lot of racing in Europe and heard about this. So to finally be here and to see how I stack up against some of the world's best off-road riders is really exciting.
Well, you just touched on that. You are here competing with some of the world's best off-road riders. How do you think this is shaping the women's field, and what do you think about that?
Yeah, it looks like it's getting stronger every year. You can just see more industry and sponsorship getting behind the riders, and especially the women's field. To have like 30 women and 30 men, equal pay, everything. It's a really exciting opportunity, and it's growing every year. And to step in this year is I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, good luck tomorrow, and good luck with the rest of the series.
Thank you.
If you are looking to buy or sell a bike, I have got a great deal for you. We have partnered with Bycycle, which is spelled B-U-Y-C-Y-C-L-E, and you can find them at bycycle.com. They have over 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available. It's a global marketplace, so you're going to find bikes from all over the world, from very low-level entry price to very high top-end bikes. And right now, you're going to be able to save $100 on your purchase if you use Girls Gone Gravel at checkout. The other exciting thing is they make it really easy if you're trying to sell a bike. I know that we're all a little sketchy about listing something on Facebook Marketplace, and are we going to meet somebody in a weird parking lot, and are they going to try to scam us? This makes it super easy. You just go on, you create an account. You're going to put the make, model, and year of your bike, and it's going to upload all the information about components, everything on your bike, take a few good pictures, list it, and then when your bike sells, they're going to send a box to your house and arrange for pickup. It's very easy, a great place to find bikes, so head on over to bycycle.com, use that code GIRLSGONEGRAVEL for $100 off your purchase. If you have a big ride on your radar, whether it's a race, a big training day, or an epic adventure, you need to plan for your fueling and hydration. So that's why we're excited that Precision Fuel and Hydration has come on as a partner of the podcast. You can use their free fuel and hydration planner to get a personalized strategy for your next big ride, including advice on how much carbohydrate, sodium, and fluid you need to perform your best. They also have a range of gels, chews, and drinks to make it really easy to hit those numbers. Plus, and this is a big deal, y'all, you can book a free video consultation to discuss your race nutrition plan and get your questions answered by a member of their friendly and experienced athlete support crew. They also have a ton of articles and videos in their Knowledge Hub, including information and pieces on the nuances of fueling and hydration for female athletes. So go check that out if you're trying to dial in your approach to nutrition. You get 15% off of your first order of fuel and electrolytes with Precision Fuel and Hydration. Simply use the code GGG15 when checking out at pfandh.com. So that's pfandh.com.
talk to Janelle. You got to go in the helicopter.
Yeah, I got to see the race from the sky today. I think of all of the races that we've covered from a helicopter before, this was the most exciting. I can't wait for the post-race show to come out because it was a stunning view of the action today.
We know you got to see the men's course and the men's race, which that was awesome. It looked like it was so much fun. But really, tell us a little bit about what you saw play out for the women.
The women's race was exciting. Okay, so first of all, Sophia took the lead on the track on that first climb to take that right-hand turn, and she never looked back. She opened up a gap on that first descent, and we're like, come on, really now? Like, there are 68 miles to go. And she held on to her lead for a really long time. There was a chase group, a significant chase group of solid women behind Erin Huff. It was so cool to see her in the chase group. And then we were trying to figure out who else was there. Samara Shepherd. We had Hannah Otto. Haley Smith was there for a while, too.
Jenna Reinhart.
Let's talk about Jenna Reinhart for a moment. She had such a solid ride. It was so great to see her. It, not even just in that chase group, but driving the chase group and many times. But it was phenomenal, exciting first lap, but I couldn't believe Sophia went out that early. Then, as we went up, we had to go back to the men's race and missed some of the action in there, and it thinned out. So Alexis Scarta pulled away from the chase and was like, hey, you guys, we gotta go get her. Alexis caught her by the time they got up to Lookout Ridge. And then after that, Alexis and Sophia rode together through the finish. And then it was basically down to a chase group of about five women. And I thought, okay, Alexis, sit on Sophia. Do not do any work. Let Sophia drive the pace and let's see what happens. I think really, I'll pause there because the finish to me, like the last 30 minutes of the women's race to me was the most exciting of the day.
Yeah, we got to see that whole top five.
Right, so it was still, at that point, Sophia had taken like a sizable, impressive lead. Alexis was behind, losing time, but it looked like with about 3 minutes left of racing, Alexis had kind of a lock on second. Now, it's interesting. Alexis, to me, is somewhat of a risky racer, which I like. Yeah. I like to see it, right? Sometimes you risk and you win, and that's what you got to do to win. You gamble to win. And so from there, we had that group of six riders who were chasing. So it still had Jenna Reinhart, Erin Huff, Sam Shepherd,
Haley Smith got back up in there.
Haley was there for a second, that's right. And all of a sudden, they get to the open road on the top of Lookout Ridge, and you just see Sam start to go. Hannah Otto got dropped from Sam. So Sam Shepherd just goes, and it's just like on a mission. Hannah Otto doing a really good job of trying to maintain that gap. And then they came over the top of that ridge, and right before they came into the descent, into the finish, Sam caught Haley Smith, flew by her. A minute later, Hannah Otto caught Alexis. Sorry, It was Sam Shepherd caught Alexis Scarta, flew right by her. A minute later, Hannah Otto caught her, flew right by her. It's tough, right? When you're the one who's being chased, and you can feel that you're starting to struggle, it can be really hard. And when you're the one chasing and gaining, it's a mental boost.
Well, we got to give Alexis credit for animating a race.
Right? Absolutely, right? I think that in racing, what the racers want and what the fans want is to see the race competitive. And so Alexis did an incredible job taking the race into the hands so there wasn't just a one-woman race off the front, right? And I applaud her for that. And you never know when you're going to do that in the day where it's going to stick and you're going to drop the person that was in everybody else's family, right? So super kudos to Alexis for racing that way today.
Well, we're glad you're up there in the helicopter. It's fun to hear the report. Thanks.
Absolutely. Let's do this again at Unbound.
We're here with one of my favorites, Alexis Scarta. How was your day today?
It was fun, actually. I think it was interesting.
Did you wake up?
I was happy with it. You know, I definitely would have liked to not detonate on the last 2K of the race and get go from 2nd to 5th, but I think that the race was interesting and I spent a lot of energy on it. I don't really regret that part.
You had, I mean, you know, we were getting updates out there. We knew that you were, you know, came in through for the second lap, right, with Sophia. What kind of effort did it take to get you back up there?
Yeah, I definitely was pushing it. It was the point where you're like, I'm feeling fine now, but I'm pushing it and I'm not sure how this is going to affect me later. And at long races like this, you kind of have to pull back more than you think you need to in order to be strong towards the end. And I just risked it and was like, you know what, it's more important to me to give Sophia a challenge to make this interesting and see what happens than to save and hold back and maybe get a better result.
We know that this is a big year for women in sport. We're already seeing that for other disciplines, but I think the Lifetime Grand Prix and what you ladies are bringing to the sport has been really impressive and really exciting. Tell us a little bit about how you feel being the leaders in that space and really holding your favorite women's cycle.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a sensitive subject for me because I really believe in women's sports and equality there, and I think that there's still a long way to go, and it's frustrating to see, you know, when it does fall short. But it's really cool to see how much progress we've made, especially the last couple of years, and like the Lifetime Grand Prix is doing a great job of making everything really equal. And I think stuff like this with like mountain biking and gravel, you know, it's they do a good job just keeping things pretty equal. So we're lucky to be in this world.
Well, I can tell you, we see a lot of little girls out here.
All right, Hannah, you came back on this race. Tell us a little about how your day was.
Yeah, it was a really exciting day. I was in the chase group most of the day, but still the chase group was like, what, third through sixth? So coming into the final miles, it still was kind of anyone's guess as to how the day could go, and I was really happy to will my way onto the podium.
We've gotten the pleasure of being able to talk to you about training. We know you've upped your training and changed it up a little bit. How did that play out in today's race?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this was really rewarding for all of that effort. And I think the biggest thing I think is it plays into the confidence factor as I'm coming into those final climbs. I can have those self-affirmations of you've trained for this, you are prepared for this. And just, I think just having that confidence can sometimes help you turn over the pedals even harder.
We always know that racing, there's a little bit of luck and a little bit of unluck that kind of plays into the factor. You've had some unluck here. You got lucky. Well, I wouldn't say lucky today, but how was that for just knowing that like your day went the way you wanted it to go?
Yeah, like you said, I've had some bad luck here with mechanicals, crashes, you know, third time's a charm. And I think for me, that just makes me really take this in and not take it for granted, because I know that you don't get to have a great day every day, but today was a great day.
Yeah, we've got a lot of women that are huge fans of Hannah Otto, so what would you say to them about just cheering for you and supporting you on out there?
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I think of, you know, this is a very painful race as it comes down to the final miles, and you definitely think about those people who believe in you and who have invested so much in you emotionally, and you know, this is not just about me, this is about everyone.
Well, you kicked the Lifetime Grand Prix 2024 off to a great start. Good luck with the rest of it.
Thank you so much.
All right, we've got Iz King, and you are here during the Fuego, because you're not racing the Fuego.
At the finish line, in my casual clothes.
Yeah, and I see a gravel bike over there. Are you racing the gravel race?
I am not. I am actually riding the Gran Fondo tomorrow, because I raced 140 miles last weekend, and I'll race 140 miles next weekend, so I'm taking Seattle to go slowly and talk to people and hang out.
Nice. And what was the decision not to race the Grand Prix this year?
Oh, it was a really, really hard one. I was joking. I was really sad that I was going to miss out on trading cards, but then I realized that I could just make my own, which is exciting.
Let's see it.
Here we go. Pull it out. It's orange. as of course. Nobody is surprised.
On brand.
I really, really enjoyed being an inaugural person for the first 2 years of the Lifetime Grand Prix, and I felt like it was my turn to give my spot to someone else who maybe needed a little bit more coverage and a little bit more opportunity to build a brand and get sponsors, and Lifetime Grand Prix is definitely helpful for that, to be able to say someone I'm in this series. So for me, I'm excited about focusing on the races that I really enjoy, which are in the Grand Prix, the Unbound and the Big Sugars of the world, and then prioritizing other races maybe that I haven't tried or that I might do a little bit better.
I love it. I also wanted to ask you about the state of women's sport, right? We are in just an unprecedented year. I feel like we've been saying that for the last 3 years, but with what's just happened in basketball, what's happening all around, what does it feel like to be a female cyclist kind of in this era and seeing like you also have the opportunity in cycling to race the tide?
I mean, I love it. I feel incredibly fortunate to have started when I did because I've gotten consistently faster each year that I've been racing, and so has everyone else. So in the results, I've gotten worse, but it's fun to see how the competition is just getting faster and faster. And it is kind of like I'm proud to be part of it and honored to race against these women who are just absolute monsters.
Well, we'll be excited to see you at all of the races.
Yeah. See you at Unbound, see you at BWR.
Thanks.
All right, we're here with Jenna Reinhart. Jenna, tell us about your day.
It was a super good start. I ended up in a really good pack all day. We were kind of the chase group, trying to chase Sophia, and Alexis broke off from us a little bit. We could see her just up the road, but felt a little more confident this year than last year. I was a little timid, maybe, like leading into the single track. Not sure if I could be up with some of these like really fast riders, and this year I just had a little more confidence. And super fun day of just ripping single tracks with a bunch of fast women. Just like pinching myself a few times, like, oh wow, this is like a super strong group of women, and just all women. I don't get to do that very often, so
I think all of your consistency, I'm really hoping that it's proving to you that you definitely belong here.
Yeah, for sure. I think last year, you know, going through the season, each race, I think I got a little more confidence, and like, okay, maybe I can belong here and have earned my spot here. Last year, I wasn't sure exactly where I fell in the pack, and this year I came with a little more confidence and a little more experience too of just getting that nutrition figured out and putting in a little bit more volume. It helped a lot.
Well, are you headed to Emporia next?
That will be for sure. Yeah, I might do one more race between there, but now it's basically just getting in some big long days, getting ready for Unbound, hoping I can finish it this year.
I think the North course is really going to play to you. Are you excited to have it be a little more technical?
For sure, yeah. The only thing is, I'm like, does that mean it's going to be, like, longer? I'm like, oh, no. I don't know if I want it to be longer than what it is the South Route. But, yeah, definitely the gravel races with a little more technical elements to my style a little bit. But I love the Midwest courses, the punchy rollers. Feel a little bit more like what I'm used to at home.
Well, great job today.
Thank you.
All right, I am here in the finish shoot with Sam Shepard, who just came in second at the Sea Otter Classic. How did that feel to show America that you are here to race?
Yeah, it felt amazing. I'm feeling really strong after having raced Cape Epic with Sophia a few weeks ago. And yeah, I've just been having so much fun in America. This series is amazing to be part of. There's so many friendly people, and really enjoyed the course out there, and felt good and had a great day.
Did racing with Sophia help you know how to chase her down? Because you everybody came back and you weren't that far back from her at the finish, so did that kind of help play into what you're able to do today?
She's a really talented rider. I haven't figured out how to beat her.
Nobody.
There's a reason she's been winning everything in America, but I have so much respect for her, and racing it with the Cape Epic, I got to learn a lot about what it takes to be riding at the front, and so I think that's really helped me.
And so Cape Epic is obviously a big race with lots of media coverage. How does this compare coming into the Grand Prix and this whole hoopla around Sea Otter?
Yeah, this is really fun. It's like having the series aspect as well and all the points. Just means like, you know, in positioning there's always a spot to fight for. There's been, a lot of, like you say, media and organization around it, but which is kind of what we got used to, I guess, a little bit at Cape Epic, but Yeah, it's all part of, it's a new game over here. Like the social media and the content creation is another level to what it used to be 5 years ago, or even in racing in Europe or at home. So yeah, it's kind of interesting and learning a lot.
So next up, you have 200 miles. Have you ridden 200 miles before, and how are you feeling about that?
I've never ridden 200 miles. I was actually thinking to skip that one. It kind of scares me a little bit. 360 kilometers, we call it back at home. So it's like, that's a big day. The plan was to come over to skip Unbound and come back for Crusher. But yeah, I had a lot of fun today. So
are you having a little FOMO? And you're like, maybe I can't skip it.
Maybe I can change my plans. Yeah, we'll see.
Right. Well, we are excited to watch you in the series, and congratulations on kicking it off in the number two spot.
Thank you.
All right, Sophia, congratulations on your win today.
Oh, thank you so much.
How does it feel coming into this season with a little bit of a target on your back? Do you like racing like that, or are you feeling a little bit of the pressure?
I mean, it's a double-sided answer. You know, I think for me, I am racing myself and looking for a personal best wherever I am, and I know I can get a lot stronger, and with my coach, we have kind of completely redone my base season and the way I'm training, and yeah, today was the first opportunity I had to really test myself against the girls, and obviously my kick is there, my endurance is there, my skills are there. I only had one little minor tip over a high speed turn that lost my washed out for a second, but yeah, it was a good day.
You are a really smart racer, as far as like knowing how to get the right lines, knowing how to when to push and when not to push. How did you develop that skill? Was it part of the, like, that Olympics journey or other pieces in it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been part of NICA, right? And I wasn't very good. I mean, I was decent in NICA, but I was racing against like Kate Courtney, Sophia Hamilton, Lauren Catlin, like some really high-level females. And then I went to Fort Lewis College where I raced XC, downhill, cross, road, tried a little bit of BMX. And that environment for 4 years, I wasn't there to pursue performance. I was there to get my education and just be able to race bikes while I was there. And they play a huge role in my development. And then that's where I met my coach, and then kind of she because she's a racer, she just knows so much, and I'm able to take that wisdom from her. And yeah, sometimes it's not necessarily who's the fittest, but who's the smartest.
My last question for you is, it's a massive year for women's sports, right? And how do you see this opportunity with what's happening in the Lifetime Grand Prix and you as a leader in elevating women's cycling and women's sports?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really, anytime we have an opportunity to put on a good race and make it exciting, I think the more exciting the races is, the better. You know, there's the whole thing of separate starts, which I think are good, but in my personal opinion, we need the no drafting rules to go into effect to really make it worth, to make it really work and just really have a women's only race. So excited to see what happens there. But yeah, I'm just looking to targeting a few races and yeah, looking forward to a good year.
I lied. It wasn't my last question. Did you get to design your own kit and bike? Because it's my favorite so far.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, it Specialized's 50th year anniversary. So we're going retro. Our gravel bikes are inspired by a stump jumper from like the 80s, I think. And then they kind of went with a retro look. So both the Specialized off-road program and the Specialized factory racing have the same design but different colorways. And my World Cup is a frame-only colorway. So if you love it, you can buy it.
It's very beautiful. We'll put a picture in. Thank you so much for chatting with us. Yeah.
You have been listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. This podcast is edited and produced by the team at Live Feisty Media. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating. It really helps other women find the podcast. And be sure to follow us at Girls Gone Gravel on Instagram or Facebook.